Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll be back in Hebrews in a week or two, but I wanted to do something different this morning. One thing we'll never do different, never depart from the Word of God. Amen. We'll always be in the Bible. But I thought this was appropriate. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Brother Gonzalez, hold your ears. You don't need to hear this story, all right? Yesterday, we went out and we were knocking doors, inviting children to ride the bus, and Brother Mendez got dog bit. And I thought, the devil does not like what we've been doing all week, amen? And I guess Brother Mendez is the one that God said he could stand a little bit of suffering for the Lord. You ever been bit by a dog and thought you'd get a reward for it in heaven someday? Now, Brother Gonzalez, you see? So we're going to have to issue mace to our door, our people in the trailer park over there. Which trailer was it, brother? Where were you? Okay, all right. So now we know. I forgot where I was one day, and I beat the dog to the gate. That was a blessing. But anyway, don't stop going and knocking on doors just because Brother Mendez got bit. Amen? We'll send somebody with you to help if necessary. But anyway, Friday night we were finishing up. It was about 9 o'clock, and on the VBS week was tremendously successful. We had good turnouts. We had decisions. I think everyone that served would agree that it was a blessing to be here. And I'm looking out at a lot of folks that were here, and you are probably physically weary. That's going to be one of the greatest things about eternity. There will be no fatigue in heaven, and we will be permanently rested and permanently resting, so to speak. But Friday night, about 9 o'clock, I got a phone call on my cell phone, and we got several of these calls throughout the week, and it was parents saying, "Where are my children?" And what had happened was the children had apparently had been dropped off, but they wanted to ride the bus home. So they got on the bus, and off they went, and the parents called and said, or came by, and the fellow says, "Where are my children?" And I said, "Well, they're on the bus." And so I called, Brother Wine was driving, and I called Alan, and I said, "Hey, can you swing by the church on the way to the last leg of the bus route and drop off these children for these folks?" And nobody was unhappy. It went really well. They stopped by, dropped them off. But just about the time we were waiting for those children to show up, we were standing out here in the parking lot, and I heard a bang. And then I heard another bang, and I looked up, and they were shooting off fireworks at the base. And it went on for about 25 minutes, and I thought to myself, if we'd have been thinking, we could have scheduled it so the kids could have seen that, but they had gone home already. But I thought, well, that's kind of a neat little fitting celebration at the end of VBS, that they would shoot fireworks off to honor the end of our VBS, amen? I don't know who thought about that over there, but praise the Lord for that. The Lord thought of it, amen? Amen. And it occurred to me, if the Lord had come back on Friday night at 9 o'clock, if that was the time that he chose to return, those of us that had just finished VBS, we would have said, "Praise the Lord, what a great time for the Lord to return. We just spent the week serving faithfully, and we saw the blessings of God, and we trusted God, and God provided." And I thought about this passage, and it's one of the only times in the Bible that this phrase occurs. The phrase is, "Well done." The Lord says, "Well done." Now, this is a parable, but it is a very practical one. It's very, very useful. And in this particular case, two different servants hear the words, "Well done." And I thought, I'd kind of like to look into that a little bit and see why that was, that the Lord would say that to them, because I hope to hear those words one day. Now, I got to remind you of something. One week of service does not a life make, right? In other words, we don't just serve 1 week, we keep on serving. But I was excited to see some of the folks that came out this week, and they served tirelessly. I mean, they just kept on going, and it was hot, and there was a lot to do, and sometimes your legs would be sore. I was asking Jessica, she says her fingers are sore. I think she played that theme song about, 1,000 times maybe? On any given night, at least 50 probably, and they had a little theme song that went along with the VBS, and she was playing that. And the whole week was just filled with labor for the Lord, and at the end of the week, I think we all could look back and see it was a week that was well done. So I'm going to read this parable to you, and not all of it, but the first two-thirds of it, and then look at that subject. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And we'll begin in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I'll just read a couple of more verses. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hadst not sown, and gathering where thou hadst not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for the blessing, the encouragement it is to us to have this moment to come apart and to open our Word of God and see things that one day we will see in reality, that we will observe that moment when men stand before you. The Bible says that we will all give account of ourselves. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed in the blood of Christ, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, we just ask you today, be a blessing, be an encouragement, be a strength to us. I pray you'd give us a greater resolve. And Lord, also give us the encouragement that we need just to keep on going, to be faithful to you. And Lord, help us to be obedient to you until you return. I thank you for what you've done this week. I thank you for these people that have served and worked so hard. And I just pray that you'd bless them. We know you will bless them for their labors. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I was interested this week to see the different ability that different people have. And there's some people that surprise you sometimes. They can do things that you didn't know they could do. And then sometimes people surprise you in the other way, and they can't do things you thought that they could. But I think we would all agree, everybody here has been given talent, so to speak, or things with which we can serve God. And it came from the Lord, amen? I don't have the voice, maybe I used to, but not quite so much anymore, to stand up in front of a large VBS group and speak loudly for an hour and do all the running around and clowning around in the games and that kind of thing, like some people did today. I certainly don't have the ability to work with 3- and 4-year-olds, at least not nearly as well as the ladies here at our church do. Just different examples I could give. But the Lord gave each of you and gave me certain gifts, certain abilities, certain talents that we can use to serve Him. And whether you're young or whether you're old, whatever you have that came from God, you ought to use to serve God. Amen? And that's the crux of the story here is it's just exactly the situation that we face. You see in verse 14, he says that it's like a man that traveled into a far country. Our Lord came to this world, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, was risen again the third day, paid for our sins, ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1. But he's coming back. He's coming back. And I want to encourage you and remind you that when he comes back, the Bible says that his reward is with him to give to every man according to his works. And not works that save us, but there is a reward for the works that we do for him. You say, Pastor, I served hard last week. I did all sorts of things and hardly anybody noticed. Well, I know one person that noticed. The Lord Jesus Christ noticed. Amen. And you say, Pastor, I did some things nobody knows about. Not true. The Lord knows. And Pastor, I prayed by myself and nobody saw that. The Lord saw that. And the Lord, as he is away, he still knows us and he knows our needs and he knows who we are and he sees what we do. And there'll be a day when he'll come back and he'll reward that. And that's the event here in the parable, that these men, these three different servants, are hearing the report. So all of us here probably can remember those days when we were in school and we took a test. And somebody came to you and they said, how'd you do on the test? And you hadn't gotten it back yet, but you knew, I didn't do any good at all. Or, yeah, you knew, yeah, I did pretty good. Or you thought, yeah, I did really good on that. And so I think we know to some extent what we expect to hear from the Lord, but there may be some surprises there. I have good news for you. If you had or have never served God in your entire life, if you've never done anything yet, it's not too late. Amen? You say, Pastor, I just didn't get a chance to serve last week. I have good news for you. There's weeks to come. Amen? And we had a lot going on last week, but there are other opportunities to serve the Lord every day. And it's not too late to be in that situation. I want to focus on these two men that heard the words, well done. And I want to ask the question, why? What was the Lord looking for? What was it that he wanted to see in them so that when they were examined, or I should say, when they were judged, that the phrase, well done, was expressed to describe their service? And we won't be long, but I see three things at least, and probably more here, but at least three things that'll be very practical. The first one is this, and we need to ask ourselves these questions as we examine our lives. The first thing that he saw, the Lord saw, that was a justifiable reason to say, well done. The first thing he saw was this. He saw that there was a gain. There was something gained or something accomplished. They had a result in their life. You can see this over and over. Let me read you a couple of verses here. Look again at verse 16. It says, he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And then later on, in verse 20, it says that he came to the Lord and he said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained them five talents more. And the same thing is said of the man that had two talents in verse, the other fellow that had two, and I won't read those verses to you. But each of them had taken what the Lord had given him and had there had been a result as a consequence of that. Now, this week, I did a little spreadsheet to kind of see how many people were involved in VBS. There were at least 30 or 35, probably more, 30 or 35 members of our church, or in some cases, some folks that were just helping us out that haven't joined the church yet, but about 30 or 35 people that were involved in Vacation Bible School. And as a result of that, we figure at least 10 or 12 children got saved. So let's just do the easy math. Let's say that 30 people worked hard and they saw 10 children saved. That's a third each, amen? Would you like to stand before the Lord one day and have some souls to credit to your account? I would, amen? Now you say, well, who gets the credit for those souls? Well, the Lord knows, but let me just tell you, there were people, in some cases, that went out and knocked on their door and invited them to Vacation Bible School. There were people that went and picked them up and brought them to Vacation Bible School. There were people that taught them. There were people that played games with them. There were people that did crafts with them. There were people that that preached the Word of God to them. And you say, well, how many of those folks were important? All of them. Amen? Whatever part you played, you say, Pastor, I didn't preach to anybody. if you drove a bus or if you invited somebody or if you gave a child a smile or whatever you did, it all comes together to accomplish God's purpose, because the truth of the matter is God's the one that does the work. He just does it through us. But the only way that you can hear those words, well done, is if there is some product, if there's some result. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's just say you began to go door-to-door soul winning like we do every week just about. And you went and you knocked doors for 4 hours and nobody got saved. You say, Pastor, there was no result. Wrong. The Bible says in Corinthians that when you give the word of God to somebody, even those that reject it, it's a sweet savor to the Lord. Because you see, the work there is in the giving of the word of God. So don't mistake it and think there had to be 12 souls saved this week. Praise God, there were 12 souls saved. But there were 125 approximately. Mrs. Dahlman keeps meticulous records, and I was very impressed with her ability to do that in the environment that we had with children running around. And we had a high night of 102, and a low night was, I think, just around 70-something, wasn't it? And anyway, 125 different children heard the gospel this week. 10% of them got saved. But that's 125 more. And I listened to the preaching, and those of you that were here, many of you did as well. It was clearly presented, wasn't it? There'll be some people saved later on because of what happened this week. There'll be, sadly, some people that rejected the word of God. But God did not send us to save them. He sent us to tell them. If you're not doing anything, then there can't be a result. But the well done here is because the Bible promises us, listen, it's very clear. The Bible says, if we do not faint, in due season we will reap. If we faint not, the Bible says. Boy, this week we could have fainted. Amen. It was a lot of work. But we kept on going through the end of the week. And you just got to keep on serving God faithfully, get the strength from Him, find out what His will is, whatever that is, and go forward for Him. And folks, there will be fruit. God promises that. There was a gain, and that's one of the reasons they heard the words, well done. And it's encouraging to us to see that gain, isn't it? To see those souls that were saved. Now, there's a second thing that you can see here in the passage, and it's there again in verses 21 and 23. The Lord said unto him, well done. And look at this phrase. I'm going to break this down a little bit here, hopefully in an interesting way. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And in verse 23, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I think there's a clue there. I just use the word good for the sake of alliteration. There's not just the gain. There's the goodness and the faithfulness here. Now, what does he mean, a good servant? Some of you, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you were responsible for evaluating employees in a company or evaluating subordinates? Some of you have done that, right? I've done that, and not really comfortable with that because I feel like you want to make sure you're fair and you do the best job you can to evaluate them accurately. But some of us at least, have had folks that worked for us at some point in time. And you know what I mean when I say, that's a good employee. That employee is not so good. And what are you looking for? You're not looking necessarily for the person that's the smartest. I've had some employees that worked with me or for me that were really smart, but they weren't good employees. Not even the most capable, maybe. I've known some people that worked for companies that I worked in or situations I was in. They were very, very, very capable. They weren't a very good employee. You say, well, what are you looking for? You know, one of the things that this word means, I'll just give you a few concepts that go with this word, means of a good nature. Someone that is pleasant or agreeable or joyful or happy, that's right underneath that definition of the word good. I've known some people that were good workers and they were really miserable to be around. The Lord looks at this servant, and I may stretch this just a tad, but He can say of them, that's a good servant. Now, it would be very important to me, and I hope you'd feel the same way, that when the Lord looks at you and I, He says, there's a good servant. Amen? Wow, dead quiet. I think the Lord will do that. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean perfect servant. No, there are no perfect servants. But the Lord could look at you and I, and he could say, there's a good servant. Well, what would you look for in a good servant? Let's just look at a few things here. Perhaps someone who is reliable. Perhaps someone who's honest. Perhaps someone who's dedicated. Perhaps someone who does excel in certain areas. Certainly someone that can be counted upon. And there's the word faithful that goes right along with it. Somebody that's going to be there when you expect him to be there and do what you expect him to do. That's a good and faithful servant. And one of the things I learned this week is sometimes people make commitments that they don't keep, and sometimes people keep commitments they don't make. We had some folks that worked this week, and they had told me ahead of time, Pastor, I can't be there, but a couple of nights they were here all week. Praise the Lord. By the way, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. And sometimes God can open doors we didn't know he could open. You say, well, Pastor, I've got such obligations and so on. Well, ask the Lord to make some changes in your life so you can be here. I'm not trying to give anybody any difficulty that wasn't here every night. What I want to say to you is this, and that is that the faithfulness that you have is made possible by God. Let's make sure that we are faithful when we can be. He says, good and faithful. There's a quality about their service. It's not just that they got the job done, but there's more to it than that. They could be depended upon. They had a spirit about them that was a good spirit, not a difficult or a trying one. And that was a compliment that he gave them that went on the heels of the well done. So there was the gain, the result. That was part of the well done. There was the good and faithful aspect that these servants had. But this is last one, I think, is something we can spend a little bit more time on, not too much. There's something interesting about them. Look at verse 21. He says, thou hast been faithful over a few things. He says in verse 23, thou hast been faithful over a few things. And in both cases, that's a compliment. Now, here's the thought. If God had given us 1,000 children this week, and if we had had we'd have probably had to, in that case, probably had to have had at least 100 and something workers, probably 100 workers to do that. Somebody would say, wow, that was a big vacation Bible school. But you know what really doesn't, what really matters is not how big it is. What matters is that we did the job God gave us to do. Now, let me paint this picture for you very clearly. I look at what we accomplished last week, and I look at the size of our church, and I'm thinking, how did we do that? That was amazing. That there were no serious gaps in our service, that there was plenty of supply, plenty of people. God put it all together. I think of that church mentioned in Corinthians that they gave out of their poverty, they gave liberally. And I think last week, I think we did that in the area of service, that there aren't a lot of us, but praise God, we did a big job. And you know what you do? You just stay faithful in the things that God gave you. Say, Pastor, I don't have a lot to work with. That's kind of good news in a way, because the Bible says to whom much is given, much shall be required. Say, Pastor, God didn't give me that much to work with. Just use what God gave you. In World War II, you've all heard of General Patton, and the other generals used to complain all the time that they didn't have what they needed to get the job done. At the beginning of the Civil War, President Lincoln was trying to deal with General McClellan, and McClellan kept saying, I don't have enough soldiers. I haven't got enough soldiers. I haven't got enough. I haven't got enough. And Patton made a statement one time. He said, you know, he said, a good general is not the one that waits until he gets everything he needs. A good general is the one that takes what he's got and does the most with it and is successful as a result. Say, I don't have enough of this. I haven't got enough of that. Well, we learned last week God can provide. Amen? Now, let me ask you some questions. Don't answer out loud, but think to yourself. What do you think God would like to do with Vision Baptist Church? I know we just had a good vacation Bible school, and praise the Lord for that. But what would God like to do with us going forward? And I'm not going to say that all these things are things God would want us to do, but perhaps some of them. Maybe God would have us start a church somewhere. Amen? Maybe God would have us train men for the ministry, maybe. Maybe God would have us to have some new ministries in our community, perhaps a jail or a prison or a nursing home ministry. And I ask myself, what is it that God wants to do with Vision Baptist Church? And then we go right back to where I started a while ago. And you can apply this in your life as well. You say, what does the Lord want to do with me? Realizing that it's not based on the supply. In other words, it's not, you say, well, Pastor, you know, I have a lot of money. God must want me to support missions. That's not the way it works. If you heard a week ago Wednesday, you heard Clinton Rardin comment on how he got involved in missions, and he made God a promise that he was going to give, and then he started giving large amounts of money that he didn't even have. That's the way God works. And that's when God's really blessed, is when we have the faith to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he says, here's what I want you to do. And you look at it and you say, I don't see how I can possibly do that. But God uses you to do it anyway. Amen? You with me? Last week we said, we're going to run a vacation Bible school. We had no idea how many children we would have. We had a ballpark idea. We knew we needed certain workers. We knew we had certain things we wanted to accomplish. And we didn't see where the workers were all going to come from. We didn't see where the supply was going to be there. We just said, Lord, this is what you called us to do. We're going to step forward, and God met the need. Can God do that? Can God do that in Vision Baptist Church? Amen. And it doesn't necessarily mean that every chair would be full, although, praise God, that'd be great if they were. But what has God called us to do? I don't know if you can imagine or understand or perceive the importance of one soul being saved. You've heard missionaries, I think, in our church mention this. I've preached on it somewhere along the way. The Bible says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you understand that in God's economy, one soul is worth everything? When you step into eternity, you're going to bump into one of those children that got saved this week. And I don't know, bump into my terminology, you're going to see them there. And one of those children that was saved this week is going to say, thank you for being a part of the church and the ministry and the effort that brought me to Christ. Just one. I had the most fun, well, I got to see of it, of seeing the skit this week. And I got to see the preparations for that. And poor Mark, One day they're out there in the kitchen, they're burning stuff so he can put black things all over his face for the skit. The next night, he's got little red spots all over his face. It was good. And why would somebody put a bunch of red stuff on their face and act foolish in front of a bunch of children to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. So a child can get saved. Why would someone drive a bus or get bit by a dog or teach a class or bake a muffin or give water, or pray, or all the things that we did to be a part of God's service? And when it's all done, then there's that well done, thou good and faithful servant. What do you think God would like to do with Vision Baptist Church? I'm praying God would make it very clear to us. I know this week we were in His will, amen? He's not done with us yet. And we've tried some things that haven't gone forward. We've tried some things that have. But when God's in it, I think you're going to see some great results. And I would ask you to ask God in your life, Lord, what would you have me to do? And not just 1 week of vacation Bible school, but Lord, what would you have me to do? You say, Pastor, I don't see how God can do anything with me. That might be a good thing, because the Bible says when we're weak, He's strong. Amen? Say, Pastor, I don't know what talents I've got. Well, you've got some, and God gave them to you so that you could multiply them and gain some things for Him. And I just ask you, it's exciting to serve God. Brother Mendez, do you agree? Amen. It's exciting to serve God. I wish I could tell all the stories of all the people this week and the various things they did and how they saw God work. It's exciting to serve God. Let's go forward for Him. Amen? As a church, I hope one day we can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Let's all stand and pray, if you would, please.